The prayer of faith, when you just pray about everything you see and you leave it in God's hands by faith and you don't pick it back up, that's the prayer you need to learn, and you need to learn it quickly, okay? But the prayer of importunity is good.
It's like childish.
Because if you don't have the faith and you are double-minded, you can pray to God for this thing that you need. Now, let me tell you how God's going to do it. Since faith is the substance, He's going to ultimately give you faith. So what you've got to do is to make up your mind that you're going to accept this gift when God puts the confidence in you, and you're going to stand. Now, the place that you stand when you come to the end of your prayers of importunity is the same place you can stand at the very beginning. That's what the prayer of faith is. Why? Why worry about all that? You say, well, I don't feel faith. You don't have to feel faith. Faith isn't a feeling. Faith is just not being departing from what is written. Thus saith the Lord. If He said it, He believed. Go ahead, Bob.
I was going to say that a good example of that is I remember reading what Wigglesworth. He would go out into the woods and climb up into a hollow log and just stay up there and pray and pray and pray until he reached the point of, with his prayer of importunity, where he would ultimately have faith for the matter that he was addressing.
I think that was Bevington, wasn't it?
I was thinking it was...
Okay, maybe Wigglesworth did that too, but I know Bevington was big on that. The log business.
But anyway... if we think about it, what the Lord does for us when we have a witness and a testimony, we start out that way. But then, how many times do you have to go through that when you see that you pray the prayer of faith and the Lord answers the prayer and the Lord answers the prayer? You go boldly before the Lord. That boldness comes from knowing that it's a mighty God that we say that we pray to, that hears our prayers. Okay. And there was one thing else. I'll think of it later.
I have a friend who is an old Pentecostal preacher from. He's 93 now. And when he was 10 years old, he had he went into heart failure, and he couldn't breathe and he couldn't stand, and so his mother called for an ambulance. And while they were putting him on the gurney, a light from heaven shined on that child, and everyone in the room saw it. And his mother stood up to him and says, "Honey, what's going on here?" He said, "Jesus just spoke to me." And she said, "What did He say?" And he said, "That I am going to be a mighty preacher, and I am going to believe, and God is going to do mighty miracles through me." And the woman, his mother, turned to the paramedics and said to them, "Put the child back into his bed. We don't need you." And they said, "Lady, this boy is in heart failure. He's going to die." And she said, "He can't die. Okay? He can't die because God said he's going to preach the word. So God is responsible to heal him."
Yeah.
And the child got up off the gurney and was completely healed. And he became and has spent 83 years preaching the word of God.
Amen.
You know how we were talking about how we've gone through this era of the Nicolaitan era and how the power of the gospel has been the crop of the teachings of the original disciples of Jesus has gone through the period of palm worm, the canker worm, the grasshopper worm, all the crops have been devoured, and what scriptures tell us is that the Lord is going to come back and he's going to shepherd his own sheep and he's going to restore this crop. If we look back, we'll see that we went through a period where we had the prayer of importunity, and then if anybody's read the writings of John Lake, see, he understood this prayer by faith of being able to receive the promise without having to pray. What he did was in Spokane, Washington, he had the healing clinics over there. He had over 100,000 documented healings, miracles, okay? And what he would do is he would teach his people that were at the clinic how to pray in faith and receive immediately. And the reason that we know that it was immediately, it wasn't like pray. It was just believe it by faith and receive it. Was that he would actually have the people come. There'd be a lady there that would have a goiter or cancer or whatnot. And they would stand there and they would pray. And they had different rooms where these people that he had relayed the information in terms of how to pray and how to receive the healing. And they would finish praying with the person, and if the person wasn't healed, they'd say, well, let us go back and look at this and start one more time here. Maybe we didn't understand this. When we pray as though we have received and we shall have. And you know that he was never a physician in terms of by a degree. And yet, he received an honorary degree. The people would back up in the streets of Seattle for the healing clinics. And it would go block after block after block after block. And they would get in line in the morning, and the end of the day would come, and they'd be standing in line again the next day. Mm-hmm. That's how powerful this ministry was. With healing after healing after healing. Over 100,000 documented miracles. So, that's awesome.
And the truth is, when I was first came into Christianity and went into a Pentecostal church, they were real bad about waiting to see something before they accepted it. I mean, they didn't pray the prayer of faith and just walk off and accept it. I mean, they had to wait till they saw something. Now, old-time Pentecostal churches are kind of backslidden, you know. But the truth is, I learned from God that you just speak it and walk on. You don't have to worry about it anymore. And you just, if you command demons to come out, just command them to come out and just keep on walking. You don't have to stand around waiting for them to come out. They got to obey you anyway. Why do you have to stand around and wait? Are you waiting to see something? Just accept it and just go your way, you know? That's the difference between the prayer of importunity and the prayer of faith. Now, sometimes people that pray that way and pray that way and pray that way, they'll pray and pray and pray until, like Bevington. Bevington was really good about that. He was the guy I knew that crawled up in hollow logs. He would pray until he felt that strong confidence that God had answered his prayer. And he crawled out of the log, and he just knew he had it, and he walked his way. Listen, folks, you can have that confidence the first time you pray the prayer. You don't have to pray the prayer of importunity. If you are double-minded, please pray the prayer of importunity. Because God will give you faith. But if not, because God is weak to the weak. You understand what I'm saying? If you need that, then do it. Okay? But if you can be stubborn enough to hold fast to what you pray, just pray the prayer of faith and go on, because you got something else to pray about. You haven't got time to spend a week in a hollow log. You know? Especially these days, you know? Especially these days. Pray the prayer of faith. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Tell that person to walk in confidence and they will be healed or delivered or whatever. You know, it'll just be done. Well, my mama came to stay with us. She came to our door and she was demon possessed and tormenting us, you know. She came to our door one night and said, I'm going to keep you up all night. I said, oh, no, you're not. We marched in there. I commanded five demons to come out of her. Went back to bed. Didn't stand around to look for nothing. Next morning, got up. It was real quiet in there. I kind of peeked in the door. The room was a total mess. It was like she'd wrestled with a lion all night long because the whole place was a wreck, you know. Well, I didn't have to stick around for wrestling with the demons all night. But when I walked in a few steps, I thought, where's my mama? Because she's just not here. She come crawling out from under the bed. And she was totally delivered. But I had a good night's sleep. You know, let her wrestle with the demons, but I had a good night's sleep, you know. Well, they came out of her, and she was totally different. I'd never known that lady for many, many years because she had demons as long as I'd known her. But the Lord just made this opportunity, you know. And let me tell you something else, folks. She was a lost person. But she was in my house. And she was bringing a curse on me and my family. And people can't come in your house and bring a curse on you and your family. You got authority. So you don't have to stick around, and you don't have to wait until you see. That's a trick of the devil, to wait until you see something. The Pentecostal church I went into was so afraid that somebody would say that they got the Holy Spirit without speaking in tongues they were going to sit right there and pray for you for 8, 10, 12 hours until you spoke in tongues. And then they'll say, yeah, now you got it. No, but I learned that that's not the truth, folks. I agree that tongues is a sign of the Holy Spirit.
There are many other signs.
But there are some other signs. That's exactly right. And I agree that anything you ask from God, you should ask it by faith.
That's right.
Is believing you have received. It's calling the things that be not as though they were. That's what it is, you see. And that's the righteous shall live from faith. Okay? Yes, please.
God has given me used the term vision for lack of, because I'm not sure exactly what it was. But he typically does it this way with me. He pictures me being a father and having a small boy and using that context with the father with me. And in this vision, I had like an 8-year-old son. And I told him, I said, after dinner tonight, I'm going to take you to Baskin Robbins for ice cream. And he has a little friend over that's spending the night. And then a little later, I overheard the friend ask my son, is he really going to take us for ice cream? And my son says, I hope so. I'm thinking, you hope so? What do you mean you hope so? Didn't I say that I would? And then God showed me a different scenario. And as soon as I said, I'm going to take you for ice cream after dinner tonight, he goes, yay, thanks, Dad. You're the greatest. Mm-hmm. He's thanking me and he's praising me, and he don't have any ice cream yet. Mm-hmm. And just that simple little, you know, little parable that he just gave me right there. It's just, you know, a little 8-year-old boy thanks his dad and praises him for the ice cream he ain't got yet because Dad said so. Mm-hmm. I mean, of course he's thanking him and praising him because Dad said so. And since he said so, he knows he's going to get that which his father said he would have. And it's just as simple as that.
That's right. I mean, you know, folks, think about it. What is God doing by demanding that we come into agreement with Him in our thoughts, in our mind, in our spoken word, in our feet? What is He doing? I mean, go back to the Garden of Eden. What happened? Why did man fall under the curse in the first place? He fell out of agreement with God. In his actions, in his thoughts. Now, what is God saying? God is saying, if you want to come out from under that curse, you've got to come into agreement with me. He's demanding that we line up with him in our thinking. He's motivating us to come back into agreement with him by not giving us deliverance from that curse until we do. So, you know, make it easy on yourself. Just agree with what the Word of God says. Not with what you think the Word of God says and not what you've heard the Word of God says. Just line up with what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that it was already done at the cross. So don't waste your time trying to talk God into it. That's what a lot of people who pray the prayer of importunity, the big mistake that they make. They think they're going to be heard for their much speaking. They think they've got to try to talk God into it. Oh, please, please, please. I heard the old Pentecostals pray that way all the time. Just begging God, begging God, begging God. Well, they're not honoring God by doing that. Because they're not believing what He said. They're acting as though He's a liar. You see? And we're not justified except by faith. You understand? Justification comes by faith. Justification is accounted righteous. If God wants to give you something, the first thing you need is to be accounted righteous. See? And to be accounted righteous is not necessarily to be righteous. It's to be accounted righteous. Okay? And the Bible says in Romans, in case some of you folks, I quoted this last time, I didn't bring you to it, but in Romans chapter 2, excuse me, Romans chapter 3, he said in verse 4, God forbid, yea, let God be found true, and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy words. See, the first thing you've got to be is justified. And he's saying, if your words agree with him, you're going to be justified, okay? By your words, you're going to be justified, okay? And mightest prevail when thou comest into judgment. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you want to be justified in your words, say what the Bible says about you. Does the Bible say you're healed?
Yes.
Yes. Does the Bible say your sins were taken away?
Yes.
Does the Bible say that Jesus now lives in you? Does the Bible say that Jesus provided all your needs?
Yes.
Okay. So if you agree with that in the midst of your trial, in the midst of what he says here is judgment, then you're justified and you receive what you need. The reason people don't receive things is they're not justified. See, Jesus said that you may know that I have authority on earth to forgive sins. Rise and be healed. Well, the guy got healed. What does that prove? He said it proved that God forgave his sins. And the Bible says in James chapter 5 that we should confess our sins so we could be healed. In other words, God wants to forgive you and justify you before he gives you what you want. You see? Now he's telling you how he's going to give you that justification. Right now he's telling you, you say what God says, you agree with what God says. See, that's the problem with Adam and Eve. They fell out of agreement with God, they fell under the curse. Now, God demands that you agree with him. If you want that curse lifted off of you, agree with him so he can call you righteous. The righteous, that's what justified means, accounted righteous. The righteous shall live from faith. So come into agreement with God. Say what he says. Don't say what people say. Because people think that this is in the future sometime. God will heal you. God will deliver you. And they'll tell you that. Oh, God will do it. God, that's not the truth, folks. That's hope. That's not faith. No, the truth is, like I told one woman one time, you're looking in the wrong direction. You need to turn around and look behind you. That's where you got healed back there. You're looking in the wrong direction. You got hope. You got no faith. You know, you go. And folks, when she saw that, she got delivered of two tumors just like that. Inoperable tumors. She'd gone all around this country and got prayed for by who's who that prays for people. I'm talking about famous people. And little old me, she came to me. And I told her, I straightened out her faith. I said, look, you are just looking in the wrong direction. Turn around, look behind you, see your curse having been put upon Jesus on the cross. You were healed. That's what the Bible says. Now, are you going to believe it? She came to me and she said, well, David, I just don't know why I haven't been healed. I went to so-and-so, and I went to so-and-so, and I went to so-and-so. I said, well, you just told me why you haven't been healed. Because you believe you haven't been healed. You don't believe the gospel. The gospel is the fact that you were healed. That's the good news. See, now, you believe that, and we can do something here. The more I saw the light bulb turn on in her eyes when I showed her that, and she, the first time faith ever, she ever exercised faith, and she got a miracle right there. You know? She prayed one time, she got a miracle.
Amen.
And that's the problem with most people, is they're trying to talk God into something. He's convinced, folks. He said, it's finished. He said, I have overcome the world. What are you waiting for? Believe, you know.
You know, so when we look at entering into the rest of Christ, and we look at God's sovereignty over all situations, it really kind of parallels what we're talking about here in entering into the righteousness of Christ by entering into the fact that we believe God's Word and enter into the rest of God's Word. One of the things that I've noticed is that when we're entering into that rest, that if we give God all of our faith in that, then He'll bring it to pass in a way that He'll never let us down.
Mm. Hold your imagination, folks. Cast down evil imaginations. You know, hold your imagination. Imagine that you were healed at the cross. Imagine. You know, let your imagination connect your mind and your tongue. You see, imagine it as done. See it as done in your mind's eye. Just see it as done, folks. That's where you'll see miracles, I guarantee you.
The thing that I was really thinking of there was that as we enter into discipleship of Jesus, we kind of, you know, when we speak of speaking as an oracle of the Word of God, we kind of get, and this is, I run up on this all the time when I'm dealing with people when they're in a fit as to trying to receive from the Lord and they just can't seem to get some things right. and that is to speak as Jesus spoke, as his disciple, and that we give up our own opinions, that we no longer speak as we would like to just speak, you know, with our own personal opinions. We give that up because we are now... See, that's what being a Christian really is. It's being a disciple, or a learner, and a follower of Jesus. We run up on this all the time. Christianity doesn't really mean anything anymore because it doesn't really reflect back in terms of what Jesus said, what Jesus did. And the people that are actually saying that they're Christians, they aren't really disciples of Jesus because they're not speaking as he spoke. They're not coming into any kind of agreement with God's word. So when we look at somebody to determine if they're a Christian, they should be speaking as Jesus speaks. And they should be giving up their opinions so that when their flesh sees one thing, but the word of God says something else, our only rights as a disciple of Jesus is to speak what Jesus spoke, not to say, you know.
And agree with the sacrifice, folks. When you say, "I don't have that kind of faith," you're disagreeing with the gospel. Don't ever say that again, because that is a lie. Let me tell you what Jesus took on the cross. He took your unbelief.
That's right.
So are you going to agree with them, or are you going to agree with the devil? Don't say you don't have the faith. You do have the faith. There was an exchange made. Reconciliation means an exchange. What did he take from you? Your unbelief. Now, what did he give to you? His faith. That's what he gave you. He gave you everything that you weren't and took everything that you were. And now you don't live anymore. Christ lives in you. See? So we need to agree with him in everything. Don't say you do not lack faith. He's given to every man the measure of faith. That's what the Bible says. What is that measure? It's enough to do whatever you need done. Let me tell you that right now. It's enough to do whatever you need done. So just agree with God.
Amen. Well, you know, I've said before, and I'll probably say again, that English is not a very good language to communicate in. For example, the word belief in the Greek means to eat. It's the same word that is used to eat. Because when you eat a sandwich, 3 days later, you can't get that sandwich back. But it has become part of you. It's become part of your bone and your flesh. And so as we eat of the Word of God, as we truly believe in God's Word, it has become an integral part of us that cannot be removed. So when people say, "I believe that, but it's not happening for me," I understand that they do not yet believe.
That's exactly right.
Because when they believe, they will do what Jesus did. Not just say what the Word says, but they will do the things of God. Another example of English not being a particularly good language to communicate in is, I was reading through the Word one day and I found a scripture that said, "the children of God." And I looked that up and I went down to the root words for children and God. And what it said was this, that we are, in the Greek it says, we are the long-awaited, eagerly desired, specifically chosen offspring of God's righteousness, His power, and His majesty. That we have been translated, changed, to become. And God has been long awaited, eagerly desired, to specifically choose you to perfectly reflect His righteousness, His glory, and His majesty.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such a richness of context. And so I would really encourage all readers of the Bible to go back and do, get your concordance. Go back, look at the Greek and Hebrew, and let God stretch you and deepen your understanding of what He really is saying in His Word.
Well, you know, you brought up something very interesting here, Bo did. You know, the word for faith in the Bible a lot of times is pistis or pistos. And Actually, the word for belief in the Bible is pistoeo, which is a version of that. In fact, it means to have faith in or have faith upon. Belief has to do with having faith, very, very plainly. And there's another word, apostoeo, which means without faith. Folks, there's lots of folks without faith. There's lots of so-called Christians without faith, you know. But that's not what the Lord gave them at the cross, and that's not what they should be believing for. You know, the word, here's another word. It's translated disobedience sometimes in the Bible. But it's apostoeo. It's unbelief. It's the same word, unbelief, exact same word. Now, why would they translate, for instance, I'm going to show you one verse in my Bible here that sticks out to me. It says, John 3 and 34, it says, "He whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for he giveth not the Spirit by measure. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand." By the way, are you the Son? I mean, are you the body of Christ? Are you the Son? Okay, think about it. We are manifesting our sonship as we walk in the steps of the Son, right? Okay. Verse 36. "He that believeth on the Son hath eternal life. But he that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abideth on him." Now the first one there, believeth on the Son, is to have faith in, pistoeo, okay? And the second one that's translated in my Bible, obeyeth or disbelieveth, is the same word. It obeyeth not the Son. Now, why would disobedience be the same word as unbelief? I'll tell you why. Because every time you're unbelieving, you are disobeying. And the very key for being disobedient is unbelief. If you don't have faith, you will be disobedient. But if you've got faith, that's where the power of God comes. See? So, when you see the word believeth in the Bible, it means to have faith. Okay? And faith is something that the world cannot get their hands on. It's so contrary to human nature that they just can't understand it. How can you believe you receive something when you don't see it? You see, because they're ruled by their sight, their natural fleshly sight and fleshly hearing, and yet sons of God have to walk by faith instead, or they're not sons of God. So we have to overcome the temptation to walk by sight and instead believe God. You know, even when we see things contrary to what we say and what we believe, we have to believe God. Or, I'm going to tell you what, or we're going to be disobedient. If you are unbelieving, you will be disobedient. If you believe the gospel, you will be obedient. It's the same thing. Okay? If you believe the gospel, God will empower you to be obedient. If you don't believe the gospel, God will not give you power to be obedient. See, it's His power, but we come into agreement with Him by faith. And faith is what causes God to rise up in us and be what we're normally not, and naturally not. And
that verse in the scriptures that speak, whatsoever you believe and have faith for, I'm trying to remember the verse, whatsoever things you believe.
All things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive.
Yes.
Believe and pray for, you shall receive.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought about that some years ago and I took it before the Lord and I said, "Now, Lord, how can this be? Just anybody can come along? And I mean, how could this possibly be true?" And then I came to understand that it's just like bringing your gift before the altar with boldness. To really believe that the Lord is going to actually answer that prayer, can a man that is walking not upright before the Lord boldly believe in his heart that the Lord is going to give him that prayer? No. So it excludes all those people right there.
Right. Yeah, you don't have to worry about the unrighteous picking up those powerful gifts. I asked God that one time and says, "Lord, that's a dangerous promise there. What if the wicked wanted to use that, all things whatsoever you ask in prayer, believing you shall receive?" But don't worry about it, son. They can't do that. And it's true. They can't do it. They can't do it. Nobody's going to say, okay, God, I want to do away with Russia today. You know? I'm going to use my faith. No, you're not. Because, first of all, faith is a gift from God. And if you try to do something that's totally contrary to His nature or His will, your faith will fail you because it's a gift from God. See, so it's not a dangerous thing for God to put these awesome promises out there. The only people that can really pick them up and take them is people who walk in Him. The Bible says, if our heart condemns us not, we have boldness towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we do the things that are pleasing in His sight, so on and so forth. Hey, see, it's not dangerous for God to make an awesome promise like that.
Amen.
Because the only people that can use it are the people that walk in Him. The rest of them are not. See, what are we actually proving down here? Are we proving whether people are Christians or not? Not according to the term, the way they use it nowadays. What we're really proving is who is a believer and who is not a believer. And when they were going through the wilderness, it didn't make any difference whether they were a Jew or not. It made a difference whether they were a believer or not. All the rest of them died in the wilderness, never went to the promised land. See? And today, it doesn't make any difference whether you have once accepted Jesus as your personal Savior. What matters is he is your Savior now. And He's not going to be your Savior now unless you walk by faith now. See, what we're going to find out in the wilderness that's coming is, are you really a believer or are you not? Because if you're not, you ain't going to make it through this. See, God only wants the righteous shall live from faith. All of the righteous that enter into the kingdom and have eternal life are people with faith. The rest of them fall in the wilderness. They don't make it to the promised land.
Again, I reiterate that that those who have believed have been granted the power to become the sons of God. The sons of God are mature individuals whose life reflect the glory and faith and integrity of our God.
Amen.
Well, positionally, once we're saved, we have all the promises. But we're a newborn baby. So God has to give us the faith to be able to exercise the faith, to be able to grow to a point where we can exercise it and see God's glory in our faith. So as new believers, you're not going to see a lot of the things happening until after you've tried and proven God to be faithful. And He has to give you the faith and you exercise the faith. And, you know, Psalms 37:4 says that delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you desires of your heart. Well, if you're delighting yourself in the Lord, you're going to be in His presence, and you're not going to be asking for the foolish things that the flesh would ask for.
Amen.
Exactly. You'll be asking for the things that will glorify the Father. That's why you wouldn't be asking that God wipe out Russia.
Yeah.
You know that's not God's desire.
No.
His desire is all
more Christians than Russians.
Yeah, that's right.
You'd
be out there. Yeah, Lord's going to use Russia as a vessel of dishonor to spank, you know, come in as the bear to spank the eagle and the lion.
That was Bruce, right, Bruce?
Yes, sir.
That was Bruce, folks. See, people ask us sometimes, who was that? Who was that? What was that? You know, sometimes we have to identify ourselves because they can't see us, you know.
You know, the good news concerning what Bruce just spoke and the truth to bear witness of what he said is that God is at work within us to will and to do His good pleasure. And so, if God is at work within you, you will continue the growth process. Okay, and I personally believe there are some people who are premature births before they have come to a place of exercising faith in God. They are compelled by others to make a statement of faith, words of their mouth, before the heart is legitimately
educated
and convinced
of
the goodness of God. Because it's the goodness of God that leads to repentance. And I think that that's in some ways tragic, because many such people live, you know, they supposedly get born again when they're young and they live a life like hell. And then when they die, people reflect back to the time when they were 10 years old that they were supposedly born again. But I think the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree. But if a man is born again of the Spirit of God, then he will reflect the glory of the King over the period of years of his life.
The Bible says that we walk in the light. You don't stand in the light, folks. You walk in the light. If you want more light in front of you, you have to walk in the light you've got, you know. The path of the righteous is as the dawning light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. You understand what that means? It means you see the sun coming up over the horizon, and it's shining in your face, but there's still a big shadow behind you. There's a lot of darkness there, you know, in your walk, okay? But the perfect day is when the sun is straight up, and there's no shadows left. And that's the way it is. You know, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, but is a light unto my pathway. You see, you walk in the light, God will put more light in front of you. You don't walk in it, you stagnate. You don't bear fruit. You don't come into the image of Jesus Christ, which is His plan. You don't bear that 30, 60, 100-fold fruit. You have when you see something in the Word, begin to act on it. If you don't, you forget it. And then God may deal with you again down the road somewhere, and you might still not act on it and forget it. You know? But the truth is, if you want to grow in God, when you see something, you start walking in it. You start acting it. You speak it. Faith without works is dead. It's not enough to believe it. Yep, that's the Word of God. Or people say, well, yeah, I believe it from cover to cover. What good does that do? That everybody believes different things when they say that, you know. But it only works when you act on what you see. Faith without works is dead. It's incomplete, you know. I'll show you my faith by my works. Now, if you really got faith, let me see it in your feet. Let me see it in your mouth. Let me see it in your thoughts. Let me see it. You see, it's going to come out in your actions. You see, so begin to act it. I bet we got some people in there who have some testimony to share, aren't there?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to yet. Brent in the UK was talking about how the Lord healed his wife's eyesight today.
Praise
Hallelujah.
God.
She has worn glasses / contact lenses for about 20 plus years. Hallelujah.
Awesome. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
That's a good one.
Another answer to prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
It happened that way with my wife. When we saw this, she threw her glasses away, and over a matter of a couple of weeks, she never needed them again. And I never needed them because I never picked them up in the first place. I mean, I'm telling you that I inherited from my parents problems with my eyes, but when they came, I denied them. I forbid them. And I began to walk out that trial of my faith, and I've never needed glasses. Never put them on. So, go ahead.
Okay, Lisette from Canada said, last week, God gave me a promise for one of my daughters. She and her husband have been trying to have a child for years. They have spent thousands of dollars on treatment. They had to stop for a few months because they had run out of money and their emotional state is like a roller coaster. Last week, when God gave me the promise, He showed me that He had to wait until they stopped their trying before He could work, so He could be glorified. I had been praying for them for years. Now I am thanking God that He is going to do what He said He would do.
Yes.
Please agree with me that my daughter will turn to God and give Him all the glory, and she realizes that God created a miracle and gave her a child. Thank you.
Amen. We agree for that right now in Jesus' name. Yes, thank you, Father. We thank you for this miracle.
Thank you.
We thank you for this baby. We thank you for a nice, healthy baby. What a blessing to that family.
I have an odd thing here. I have a prophetic word for somebody who's in the audience who's listening in Texas. I have some friends over there, and the Lord has spoken to me to encourage them. And that would be Dennis and Pamela Horner in Lewisville, Texas. And the Lord says to tell you that He is pleased with you and with your diligence to pursue understanding and encouragement in the faith by being a part of this home fellowship. But the Lord is pleased with you for doing that because you have been diligent to listen week in and week out, even though your computer has not worked in such a way that you've been able to participate verbally. So I just want to say to you be encouraged. The Lord is with you. And the time will come when you get the opportunity to come down here and be a physical part of this fellowship. And so just stand in faith and believe and be encouraged, because the Lord, your God, your Father, is with you and for you, and that He is at work within you to will and to do His good pleasure. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And Lord, we know that there's some folks out there that have problems with their computers, and we just ask you, Lord, to meet their needs. Because,
yes, Lord.
And Lord, we bless those computers in Jesus' name. If they need another one, Lord, we just ask you to get them another one in Jesus' name. If they need a part, fine. Otherwise, we just command them to be healed in the name of Jesus.
That's right.
And be it unto them according to their faith, Lord. They can agree with that, and we agree with that, Lord. Command Amen. Those computers to work in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Have somebody to turn?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have, I don't know if they're still here, but we had a couple of prayer requests earlier. One was Tim Bates. He said that everyone in his family, there's seven of them, dealing with a stomach virus except for our infant, Corey. Please pray for him. Thanks to him. And I think Rory has something going on with a lingering sore throat and cough.
Okay, let's pray for Tim first, okay? Well, anybody feel led to pray for Tim? Just speak it out.
Father, your word says that whosoever sins we forgive are forgiven. And Father, we confess Tim's sins to you in the name of Jesus. His doubt, his unbelief, and the meditations of his heart, the iniquities, Father, that lead to sin. And Father, we forgive those in Jesus' name. And Father, with that authority, when he is perfected, cleansed, purified, Father, he's entitled to receive your blessing and your strengthening in the name of Jesus. And so, Father, we now pray and ask you to heal this child. We rebuke the spirit of infirmity and the virus. And, Father, we confess the sins of his mouth that has laid claim to the virus instead of laid claim to the promises of God. And so, Father, we cast those words into hell in the name of Jesus. So now, Father, we ask you by your Holy Spirit to heal, redeem, and restore his entire family, and to prevent the child, the infant, from falling victim to the Spirit in the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. It's done. In Jesus' name. Isn't it neat, folks, how a body ministry works? No Nicolaitan pastor could do that. You know, they can't preach that kind of a sermon. First of all, they don't have all that experience. But notice how many people have spoken here about their different experiences in the Lord, and how the combined knowledge of the mind of Christ can come forth in a body ministry like that. Yeah. Isn't it so much greater?
Corporate.
So much better.
Go ahead. We were talking earlier. Every time you're talking about speaking the end, no matter what you see around you, still speaking the end. And I mean, people here know that I've prayed for my wife and my family to be restored. And I'll be honest with you, today was when I talked to my wife about just getting my son something for his birthday coming up. And she was just the ugliest she's ever been to me since I've known her. And got off the phone and I started praising the Lord. I mean, my heart was actually rejoicing in the Lord. Mm-hmm. Not for what she said, but for the fact that I know that the Lord is growing in her, and it's very uncomfortable and she's miserable. And the more Christ grows in her, the faster he'll be birthed out of her and be produced in her. And the bigger he grows, the closer she is to being completely drawn and saved. So, even though even though we hear nasty and vile things from around, especially loved ones, and ones that aren't saved, just know that the Lord's drawing them. And it's not a pleasant experience to have your flesh put to death, no matter who you are. So, I mean, you know, where you're at in the Lord. So, if they're fighting against you, good. You know, the Lord's drawing them. And be blessed by it.
Yep. Amen. Mm-hmm.
Oh.
What else you got?
We got people that have dreams, have questions. We have.
Okay.
I have Joseph is in here tonight.
Just Lord, God, Terry, right now, in Jesus' name.
Yep. Dominion was first, so. Let him. He's been having his hand raised all night.
Oh.
He must be tired.
Hold that hand.
Yeah.
We're sorry, folks. We don't get to everybody. Go ahead, dude.
Yeah, go ahead, man.
Hello? Oh, man. Glad I put my hand down. I'm so tired. I just wanted to share some things with you guys on behalf of speaking about faith. First, I'd like to start in 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 16. Let me just read that real quick. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. You're still in your sins. But those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we are of all men must be pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of all who are asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also Christ all will be made alive. So right there, you know, it's just telling you that, like, if you don't believe in the power of the cross, it's just kind of like shaming, like all that, you know, Christ had to go through and what people got for, you know. So that's one thing I wanted to share with you. I also wanted to share with you this other thing in 1 Thessalonians. Speaking about the word of men and the word of God, what did we receive? And starting in chapter 2, verse 13, it says, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, and not as the word of men. For what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work. Also performs its work in you who believe." And then just one more thing, I'm sorry. In Job 22, I think I lost it. I had my hand in it, but I didn't. I lost it. But, hold on. I lost it. I'm sorry. But let me go to one last thing in 2 Thessalonians. And that's in, 1 Thessalonians 5. And that's 12. And it says, "But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you, and have charge over you in the Lord, and give you instruction, that you esteem them very highly in the love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. We urge you, brethren, admonish the unruly, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with everyone. See that no one repays another with evil for evil, but always seek after which is good for one another and for all people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophetic utterances, but examine everything carefully. Hold fast to that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil." And one more thing in Romans 3, it's talking about persevering in trials of faith. I had my hand in the too. I'm so sorry. I had all these passages lined up, and then. Here we go. Romans 5, I'm sorry, not 3. Romans 5, beginning with verse 2, that says, "Through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into the grace in which we stand. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. And not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulations brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us." You know? And that's just awesome. just one thing I have to say about Thessalonians, the reason why I shared that, because I think of David when I read that, you know, how he's been, you know, working really hard in his labor, you know, sharing these things with us, teaching us things, you know, and I just, that's just like my appreciation, you know, I just had to share that. And I've really been blessed, and just like ironically, I was just on the site listening to, can you hear me? I'm sorry, I lost it. It's okay. I guess there's a little technical difficulties there, but yeah, I just wanted to share that with you guys. Thank you. Peace be with you. Grace from our God the Father.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Hey, let me read that again, okay? I'm going to read. Actually, I corrected my Bible with the numerics because the numeric pattern is right, but listen to it here in verse 2. It says, through whom also we have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. You hear that? Your only access into the favor of God to receive all these blessings is by faith.
Amen.
And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And hope, of course, in the Bible is not the kind of hope we, the way we use the word hope. Actually, the word hope in the Bible is a firm expectation. You might hope for something you don't ever expect to receive, the way we use the term now, you see. But the way they use it in the Bible, it's a firm expectation of something to come, right? Let's see, I'm going to go back again. Through whom we also have had our access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation worketh, and the word there is patience. And patience, approvedness. And approvedness, hope. And hope putteth not to shame, because the love of God hath been shed abroad in our hearts. See, hope is good, folks. Hope doesn't save you. Faith saves you. But if you got faith, you got hope. Because if you believe you've received, you fully expect to see it happen. Right? Now, just fully expecting to see it happen is not enough. You've got to believe you've received. Why does God demand this faith that's so contrary to our sights and senses? It's because the whole world can't do this. Only the people that have a gift from God can do this. See, it proves the true people of God from the false people of God. Faith makes the difference.
That's right.
Faith is something that only believers can do. You see, the rest can't do it. And we're going into tribulation. You know why? Because God wants to separate the sheep from the goats. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, a goat can't swim, folks. No, I'm spiritually speaking here, you see. Tares don't bear fruit. And the fruit is Jesus Christ. The fruit is not only His nature, it's His ministry. These signs shall accompany them that believe. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. You see? So you understand, bearing fruit is not just His nature, it's His works too. And it's His power. And it is His faith, you see. God's going to manifest all that in believers. Because great tribulation is coming upon the world. We're going to make it through it, folks. We're going to make it through it by our faith. And let me tell you who's not going to make it through. The goats. The tares. They're not going to make it through. God is going to use these tribulations to separate. See, and but the people who abide in their access to that grace, they're going all the way through it, and they're not going to be destroyed by it. See, And in your daily life, folks, I'm not just talking about an end time thing here. In your daily life, you know, we're being tried. We're going through a wilderness of sorts. We're being tried to see whether we're going to walk by faith or walk by sight. So believe the promises. They'll carry you all the way through that wilderness. It doesn't matter if you've got any visible means of support or any visible. If you can't figure out how God can do it, it makes no difference. You don't have to know how. All you have to do is receive the end from the beginning.
Amen.
And do like God taught us to do. Speak the end from the beginning.
Amen.
You know, whenever Jesus spoke a healing or spoke a deliverance or spoke a miracle, it was not true when He spoke it. Not in the sense that the world saw it.
It did not exist.
It did not exist. When He spoke it, that had the power of creation. And in our mouth is also the power of creation because Jesus lives in us. So when you speak it, it does not exist. But your words will bring it to pass. So we have to do like our Father taught us in Isaiah. Speak the end from the beginning. We can see the end from the beginning. See? And the end is, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, He chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. The things that are is the curse, the problem, the lack, the sin, but the things that are not is the promise. And in Romans chapter 4, He teaches us to call the things that are not as though they were. You understand? We use the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. What does the world do? What does the worldly Christian do? They're always looking for something that is to try to do away with something that is. That's not God's method. It wasn't Jesus' method. It wasn't the disciples' method. See, they didn't use the physical to do away with the physical. That's what unbelievers do. See, believers speak a word that does not exist until after it's spoken. Romans chapter 4, we call the things that be not as though they were. And yet God said, He chose the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. So you know why a lot of Christians are failing? They're trying to drag God down on their methods. They're trying to force God into doing something which would be against His Word. The truth is, we got to line up with Him.
Right.
And we got the Bible says, be transformed with the renewing of your mind. See, we got to change our mind and agree with the Word of God. If we're not willing to change, which is the word repent, did you know that? The word repent means change your mind. Metanoia, change your mind. And you will be transformed if you will change your mind and speak the things that are not to bring to nothing the things that are. You have something, Terry?
Yeah. Well, we have some questions, but I mean,
okay,
let's get to those. I mean, some of those.
Any more audio testimonies?
Thalia had a dream that she wanted to share.
Uh-huh. Thalia?
Yeah.
Thalia's in
Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know which island, but she's in Hawaii.
Thalia, I got a brother over in Oahu.
I'm trying to find.
I need your prayer.
Yeah. Maybe some words. Let's see. Can you raise your hand so I can find you? Oh, never mind. I see.
Hey, I'm over here.
Go ahead.